check my style out. Look at what I can do. My style is better than your style. Do y'all hear that in the background? I think I got a cricket in my house. Man, these stinking crickets. Some people like the sound of the forest, all the bugs and all the sounds you hear. I live in Vegas, so I'm in the middle of everything. I got mountains behind my place, look like I'm on Mars. I've got water bugs. I got cicadas. I got crickets, dragonflies. Man, I digress, man. I'm just sick of crickets. You know, people think it's peaceful to hear crickets in the forest. I don't. It is so annoying to me. But anyway, I digress again. Let me get back to the point. The point is my style. Is my style better than yours? Is your style better than mine? I don't know. Let the people decide. But you've got to have a style to begin with. I developed my style over the 16 years of doing photography. I developed my style by studying those that I thought were that much better than me. I mean, I thought I was good even when I wasn't. Thought I was good. It wasn't false arrogance. You know, it wasn't cockiness. It wasn't me feeling myself. I just, like everybody in my field, at least the people that I've encountered, you know, I've mentioned it before, you get yourself a professional camera, all of a sudden you're a professional. That was me. I was that guy. You know, I feeling myself like, you know what? I started off with this regular point and shoot camera and I'm taking nice pictures. The colors are great. This, that, and the other. Even though I had the camera on auto mode, it was nothing I was doing. But of course, I was feeling myself because nobody in the world can shoot pictures like these. Just me. Yeah, right. But I was feeling myself. And then as I outgrew every camera that I had, moving up to the next level and eventually getting myself a professional DSLR digital camera, I was studying those greater than me, trying to develop my style. I was chasing those that I feel were just absolute phenomenal artists. Today, 16 years later, I've developed my own style. It's a combination of multiple styles that I've seen, that I've studied. It's not a direct ripoff of anybody that I've seen, but if you were to look at my style of work and look at some of my mentors or some of my idols' style of work, you might see a little bit of influence there, you know? But I couldn't just spend all my days trying to make my photos look like theirs. I mean, what kind of world would we be in if everything was the same? Everything looked the same. How mundane, how redundant, how boring. You know, this isn't Pleasantville. And if you haven't seen the movie, check it out. Then you'll know what I'm talking about. This isn't Pleasantville where everything's all the same. Everything's all in black and white. You have to develop your style. And sometimes you might be a great artist, greater than me, and you create your own style just by, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Like osmosis? I don't know. No, that's not the word I'm looking for. I can't think of it. I mean, it's just natural selection. It just comes to you naturally. I can't think of the word. Ah, man, my mind is all over the place right now. I can't think of the word right now, but I hope you know what I mean when I say, like, your style just comes to you. You just create your style. I didn't have a style initially, but like I said, I studied those that I thought were greater than me. And here we are 16 years later. I think I'm pretty much just as good as those that I studied and revered over the years as I was trying to develop my style. Still to this day, though, I still check out their work every now and then on occasion to see how much they've progressed and also to see where do I stand? Where do I fit in regards to how great I still consider their work to be. And a lot of times I look at their work and I'm impressed, but I'm not blown away. But at the same token, I do the same thing with my work. So maybe I'm on the same level now. You know what I mean? It's even though I didn't study under them, I studied them. And it's kind of sort of like the student finally beating the teacher, or even the student catching up to the teacher. You know, so when I look at my favorite photographers, favorite artists, and every now and then I'll see some work that they do and I'm like, man, like, wow, how come I couldn't think of that, you know? But other times I look at their work and it's like, that's cool. It's cool. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm no longer blown away because I'm satisfied. I'm confident. I'm impressed with my style. Check my style out. Look what I can do. You know, I had a friend on Facebook. I won't mention any names, but I had a friend on Facebook that even like, of course, when you post something on Facebook, it's attached to your name and all that stuff. But as you scroll through your timeline, sometimes you scroll through really fast and you might not see somebody's name or recognize somebody's name, but you see what they posted. And a friend of mine on Facebook one time, at one point I used to watermark my photos. I don't watermark my photos anymore. It is what it is, you know, but, at one point I used to watermark my photos and people would recognize my photos through the watermark, of course, and of course by my name. But a friend of mine told me she was scrolling through Facebook one time and it got to the point where she would scroll through so fast and not necessarily see whose name of who was posting something. But if you posted a photo, she would see the photo. And she started seeing my photos coming up through her timeline as she scrolled. And even though she didn't see my name, she recognized that the photo was mine. Because she recognized my style. She knew no matter, cause it's a lot of photographers on Facebook. It's a lot of photographers on social media. I mean, where else are we going to advertise, right? Newspapers are almost a thing of the past. Magazine ads are almost a thing of the past, but so everything we do is on social media. So of course there's a lot of photographers on there and she can scroll through and see tons of photos all day, every day if she chose to do so. But out of all those options and all those photos that she gets to see as she scrolls throughout the day, she sees mine and recognizes mine right off the bat because she checks, she recognizes my style. Check my style out. You know what I mean? So have you developed a style of your own? You know, everybody has their style in something that they do. You a singer? Certain voice, certain way you sing, certain tone, like Michael Jackson, for example. I've heard numerous times from different people who actually know the man, or knew the man rather, that was not his real speaking voice. You know, his soft spoken demeanor, the way he carried himself on interviews, in public, you know, in the public eye on camera, his style was to speak very softly, soft spoken voice and all that. But I mean, that was his style. But in reality, he was different behind closed doors. Some say he had a deeper voice, maybe as deep as mine. I don't know. But he had his style as a singer. He had his style. Singer, take Michelle, for example. You know, she had that soft baby voice when she spoke. But when she got on the microphone and started to sing, boom, her voice was like, whoa, like real prominent, really strong, really different. But that was her style. That's what she does. That's how she gets down. Clothing designers, you know, everybody has their own style. Style, especially when you're talking about style, you're talking about clothing designers. Your style. What makes your style stand out amongst the rest? What makes your style so much better than the rest, better than the competition? What makes your style so good that people want to come to you to buy their clothing? Other than price, you know, what makes people want to come to you to buy their clothing as opposed to somebody else? Back in the day, I used to be big on fashion. What do they call it? Metrosexual, you know, heterosexual male that just spent a lot of time dressing up. I don't know why you had to make a category for a man that wants to dress nice and look good. I don't get it. But when I used to go out, women used to think me and my boys were fashion models because we were tight all the time. We used to dress up all the time. That was our style. Our style made us stand out amongst the rest. Clothing, when it comes to clothing, style is everything. You know, is your style better than the rest? People consider Gucci, Burberry, I don't know the names, and I'm not big on name brand, Versace. They consider that to be high end, good looking clothing. I don't care what it costs. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I mean, if you are a fan, please, by all means, consider to do what you do. Don't let me influence you to do something otherwise. You know, it's just me versus what other people think. And with that being said, style is subjective. Style is subjective. You could have the dopest style or believe your style is the dopest, but somebody still might not bite. They might not buy. So what do you do? What do you do? I tell you what you do. You continue to do what you do. Simple as that. Don't keep changing your style around, because if you do, nobody's going to recognize you unless you tell them, hey, that's me. Just like going back talking about my friend on Facebook who would see my photos, and if she's scrolling through so fast that she didn't get to see my name, she recognizes my style of photography. Right off the bat, she recognizes my style of photography. If you're a clothing designer and you design certain outfits for men or women or both, and it's your certain style all the time, when people see that, they're going to recognize that and be like, oh, such and such designed this. I know him or her personally. I know how they get down. Somebody hears a certain song, you know, Lil Jon. I mean, sometimes it sounds like some of his beats that he makes are recycled, but almost everybody can agree the beats that Lil Jon makes, they hit in the club. They hit in the car. When you hear them, you're going to get up. You're going to want to dance. The man is a genius when it comes to doing that. The Dream, T-Pain, all these people have a certain style. Some people like it. Some people love it. Some people don't at all. But they have a certain style, and they stick with that style, because if you continue to constantly change your style, nobody's going to know who you are. Nobody's going to find out who you are, because when they hear you drop something and then they start to like it and start to get attached to what you drop, and then you switch up and make a sharp left turn out of nowhere, they're going to be like, that doesn't sound like such and such, or that doesn't look like such and such, or whatever. What are they doing? You know what I mean? It throws people off. And you don't leave people with anything to attach themselves to. Take this podcast, for example. Every topic that I talk about on this podcast is about freelancing, about doing your thing other than working a 9-to-5. It's about doing your thing. Every topic in this podcast, every episode, and matter of fact, this is going to be episode number 29. I am in there. I think I earned that round of applause. I've been doing this for a good minute, and I'm still consistent with it, and I still love doing it. But anyway, I digress. If you keep switching up your style, if you keep changing topics, it's kind of hard for people to grasp onto it unless you develop yourself, you introduce yourself to the world that way. And that's very difficult to do. One of the greatest podcasts, at least numbers wise, popularity wise, Joe Rogan's podcast. I mean, his topics are all over the place, but that's how they developed that podcast from day one. That's how they developed it. So me, I developed this podcast talking about freelancing, working from home, working for yourself. It's based on my photography, but freelancing is freelancing. So all the subjects, all the topics can be correlated, connected. It's all relative. But if I was to get on here and just start talking about stuff, it's a strong possibility that the people who do listen, and I appreciate you guys, everybody who does listen, it's a possibility that you wouldn't come back necessarily, or you come back and say, oh, what's he talking about today? Oh, he's talking about balloons. I'm cool on that. I'll come back on next week when he drops something about freelancing again. You know, I can't switch subjects around like that. I got to stay with what I do. This is my style of podcasting. And that's my style of taking a sip of water. Ha! Bad joke. But anyway, this is my style of podcasting. This is what I talk about. This is my subject matter. This is all that my podcast is going to be about. If I was to have another topic that I would want to talk about, I would create another podcast. And then that podcast would be strictly based on whatever new topic it's created up under. Clothing designer. You have your style of clothing. That's what sets you apart from big time retail chain stores. You know what I mean? Everybody's trying to make it. Even the people who finally do make it into the chain store, they had to start somewhere. Maybe sewing, creating out of their own home, garage, basement, home office, whatever, you know, whatever space you had available to create from home. You did that until somebody recognized your work, caught somebody's eye. Somebody's like, okay, this is dope. I would love to have this in my store. Now you're in that store and you're a particular brand in that store. That brand, that's a style. That brand, that's what it is. Nike makes nice t-shirts, but they're relatively simple. At least the ones that I buy or the ones that I see, they're relatively simple. Just a t-shirt. It either says Just Do It or it has the Nike swoosh on the front. That's all. It's their brand. It's their style. And it's what people have attached themselves to. It's what people are familiar with, people know, people love, and they're automatically drawn to it. They recognize it from a distance. You know, they see it. They're like, okay, that's what it is. Your style of clothing, you design a certain style of clothing, and somebody sees someone wearing some of your clothes that they may have seen online. They're going to see somebody wearing it in person, and they're going to recognize it right away. Like, oh, he or she is wearing such and such clothes. I can tell. I know how they design. That's pretty cool. You know what I mean? Or again, my photography, just say I get my work on a billboard or something, or in a hotel or a restaurant, and it's on the wall, and you look up and you don't even necessarily see my name on it, but you look up, you're like, man, that looks like Ahmed's work, or either somebody's biting his style, but I swear that's his work, you know, because you recognize my style. You hear a certain song on the radio. Look, Dr. Dre is infamous, known for his beats. Everybody knows Dre's beats. Dre's beats are dope. And Dre doesn't vary. He doesn't go off the beaten path so often. He stays to the course. He stays on course of what he creates, right? So when you hear a song, even before somebody starts rapping on it, even before they announce it on the radio, you just hear it come up on your playlist. If you're listening to Pandora or something, they don't announce it. And you're not looking at the screen to see who's playing. You hear a certain track and you're like, oh man, that sounds like a Dre beat, right? That's his style. That's his style. That's who made him. What is your style? What makes you? What makes you stand out amongst everybody else? You have to. It is imperative. You absolutely have to develop your own style. Number one is subjective. So if you're trying to copy somebody else's style that you think is a big success or you love their work, I mean, who knows how many people love their work and now you're copying it. So when people are going shopping and looking for options and your work looks like somebody else's, they're just rolling the dice. They're blindfolding themselves and randomly picking something on the screen. But if your work, if your clothing designs were on that same website where clothes are being sold, now people have options to choose. They're not forced to choose something that looks like somebody else's. And do you really want somebody to say, oh, you're a clothing designer, let me see your portfolio. These are nice clothes, but they look just like such and such's clothes. You know, I mean, how much of a compliment is that really? You know, I have two or three photographers that I think are absolutely phenomenal and I love their work. And I wish I would have came up with their style before they did, but because they did it before me, I have to develop my own style. I can't have my work looking like theirs because number one, it's never going to match exactly how their work looks. So I'm going to look like a cheap ripoff. The Walmart brand, the Great Value brand of the actual name brand. I don't want to look like a ripoff. I don't want to look like the Great Value brand. I want to look like the brand when somebody says, I'm a photographer. I'm dope. I do this in Photoshop. You can't touch me. And you're looking like, as a consumer, as a buyer, a potential buyer, you're looking like, man, your work is pretty cool. And then somebody shows them my work and they're like, yo, you know what I mean? Because my work stands out. My work is that much better, that much different. Again, it's still all subjective, but you still want to give people options. You don't want to look like everybody else. I have a certain style of how I shoot. I have a certain style of how I edit. I have a certain look. And I've had amateur photographers, and please, that's not me feeling myself because I'm a professional. I'm just saying amateur because they are not fully committed to the craft. You know, they do it as a hobby. They do it on occasion, make a couple of extra bucks. This is my career. This is how I pay my bills. This is how I feed myself, you know? So I've had a couple of amateur photographers come to me and ask me, yo, how do you edit like this? How do you edit to get your work to look like that? And, you know, first of all, I tell them I'm never giving up my secret sauce. You know, does Burger King give up their secret sauce or KFC or McDonald's? Do they? Of course not. That's their secret sauce. That's what makes them stand out amongst the rest. So I tell the photographers that ask me how to do such and such a thing. And I might tell them the programs and the software that I use, but I don't tell them how I dial it up to get the results that I have. That's my secret sauce. But I do tell them that when I tell them that I'm not going to give them my secret sauce, I'm not just being smug and just like, man, please get out of here. That's my sauce. I'm not doing it like that. I'm telling them, number one, it's my secret sauce. It's what separates me from the rest. And two, because it separates me from the rest, do you really want your work to look exactly like mine? You know, I'm honored beyond belief. And I'm truly, truly humbled that you like my work so much that you want to emulate it. You want to copy it that much. But do yourself a service and don't copy somebody. You're doing a disservice to yourself if you try to copy somebody, because again, you're going to look like a cheap ripoff of their work, because chances are you're not going to be able to duplicate their work exactly like theirs. And even if you could, why would you? That's their style, not yours. So you're going to try to make a killing off of somebody else's style, somebody else's work, and take credit for that? I'm not built like that. You know, I'm a do-it-yourselfer. For example, recent example, one of my buddies, one of my former teammates, when I used to do car audio competition, I left car audio in 2001. Here we are, 2021. 20 years later, I'm getting a fever again. I'm getting back into the game. I'm not competing and I'm not spending tons of money like I did 20 years ago when I did compete, but I have put together a very nice sound system in my car because it's in my blood, man. It's just in me. It's what I do. I love it. I have a passion for it. And like my old teammate said, I knew you were going to get the fever back. I can't help myself, man. This is my refuge. This is what I do. You know, I don't drink. I don't smoke. So my reprieve, my refuge, my stress reliever, it's car audio. When I'm stressed out, I sit in my car and I either turn on some smooth, good sounding music, or I turn it up loud and blow my ears off. That's just my thing. That's how I decompress. But anyway, I say that to say my old teammate, which was also a mentor of mine ever since the day I met him. He has always been cool and he was in the game much longer than me. He's older than me. He's in the game much longer than me. So he knew a lot more than me. But when I showed up to the game, I wasn't a complete amateur. He just helped guide me along the way. Anyway, with that being said, he still competes to this day and he's actually won some trophies. We used to do base competitions called DB drag racing. Base competitions back in the day, and we won a ton of trophies together. I mean, a ton of trophies together. We set some records and all that stuff. We're all over the internet. The people in the game know us and we know them. It's just one of those things. It's that brotherhood, that bond, that camaraderie. So he's moved to the next level of sound audio competition, which is called sound quality. And basically it is basically what the title says, sound quality. So you're not booming bass and rattling people's windows and blowing your car apart like we used to do back in the day. But it's all about putting together that super smooth, soft, perfectly balanced sound system. And as I'm building my system, I'm telling them what equipment I got, which direction I'm headed. And I played a sample for them and I played a sample for them a little prematurely. You know, I was feeling myself, as I often do, jump the gun. You know, I mean, come on, man, get it together. Jump the gun, feeling myself, and then I have to go back into the lab and redo. Anyway, I jumped the gun. I reached out to him like, yo, check this out. He's like, it's cool, but blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I was like, ah, man, all up in my feelings. But then I'm like, man, he got a point. So I scrapped all the equipment that I had and rebought some new equipment, put it together like I knew I should have in the first place. You know, knew how I knew I should have did in the first place. But now I'm finally at that point where I'm very, very, very close to hitting that sweet spot. But my teammate said, look, man, when I get a chance, whenever we come across each other's paths, I'm going to help you tune your system, do this, that, and the other. And I respectfully declined and said, look, you know how I get down. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I can't have you do it for me and make it sound good because I'll never learn. And he respect that because it was like that back in the day when we were teammates. You know, he would build for himself. I would build for myself. We'd share notes across the board. You know, this is what I plan on doing. This is what I'm trying to achieve, but we would never build for each other. So now I can't let him build for me, because if he builds for me and then my system ends up sounding like his system, then it's all the same. There's no difference and there's no one specific sound. It's all subjective too. I mean, of course they have ways of judging the sound, but still it's, there's going to be differences. There's going to be nuances. That's how you choose a first, second, and third place. I can't have my car sounding exactly like his. Just say I did decide to get back into the competition game, and then he and I go doing shows together. You can't have a first, second, and third place, or first, second, third. You know what I mean? We'll end up sounding exactly like each other, and I don't want to do that. So going back to what I said about check my style out, what's your style? You don't want to sound exactly, you don't want to look, sound, sing, write, take photos just like your teammate or your counterpart or your competitor. You don't want to be exactly like them. You want to give people choices. You want to be in the choice, in consideration. Just say, going back to my photography, just say I was looking for a print to buy for my house. And photographer A shoots like this. And I'm like, oh man, photographer A is dope. Photographer B shoots like this. Oh, photographer B is really dope. And then photographer C shoots just like photographer B. Other than price, and chances are if they shoot the same, the prices are going to be the same. Why would I consider photographer C if he or she shoots exactly like photographer B? Now my choices are only going to be between photographer A and photographer B. You just eliminated yourself, because if somebody finds your inspiration, your model that you copied from, if they find them first before you, you've eliminated yourself because you look exactly like the person you copied. You see that? You see the point that I'm getting at here? You have to find your own style to make yourself stand out so that you don't eliminate yourself from the competition, from people's options, people's choices. Give somebody an option to choose you. Because again, if your work looks exactly like or sounds exactly like somebody that you admire or that you aspire to be like, if they see that person's work before they see yours, and chances are if that person's famous, they're going to come up in a Google search faster than you before you. So chances are they're going to be seen before you. If you give people the option to see their work before yours, and then they do eventually see your work and your work looks exactly like theirs, they're going to go with the name that they know. And you're not going to establish a name for yourself because you've copied the name that's already out there. You know, unless you want to be that person, and that's perfectly fine. You know, going back to Versace, when Versace was in style, you know, when people can't afford Versace, what do they go do? They go to the swap meet and they buy the knockoff. Do you want to be the knockoff? You want to be the ripoff? Air Jordans, the shoes are big. I'm not a Jordan fan. I don't understand it. I don't understand how people attach worth or value or pride into some Jordans. I'm not that guy. You could show me retro Jordans the day he wore them, the first day he ever played ball. You know what I'm thinking? Sell them. You know, I'm not looking to wear them. I'm not looking to put them in a glass case. I just don't get the culture. But that is the culture. You know, that's the style. You see real Jordans that people wait in line for and damn near fight for and unfortunately kill for and people lose their life for, again, which I think is just beyond me. It's just stupid, but that's what people do. But when people can't afford those Jordans and they don't steal them or rip people off, they end up trying to buy the knockoffs. And unfortunately, they get made fun of, but they still end up buying the knockoffs. There's always a knockoff out there. Do you want to be the knockoff that people are making fun of? You know, do you really want to be? No, I don't know anybody who wants to be the knockoff, you know? So you have to develop your style to stand out amongst the rest. So when people see your work without even knowing that it's you, they know that it's you, you know? Separate yourself. When you're talking amongst your friends, amongst your entrepreneur friends, and you're talking about what you did and this and the other, say it with me, people. Check my style out. Know what I'm saying? Check my style. Look what I can do. And I'll leave you with that. I will talk to y'all next Tuesday with another style. Now, I'm going to be with the same style. It's my style. That's how I get down. And hopefully y'all get down with me. I'll talk to y'all in a week.